coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And this is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com. There for all of our show information, show prep, articles, contributing article or contributors articles, information you need to know. That's HagmanReport.com. Click on the banner on top, and that'll take you to our show page. There you can access all of our shows, audio, video, posts, and such. So do that, please, and bookmark HagmanReport.com. And do me a favor, folks. Go to Rumble or Brighteon, either one of those, the free speech platforms, Rumble and Brighteon, and subscribe. Subscribe to the Hagman Report. That way you've got it accessible to you, okay? So, just saying, that's really good. And it's Monday. Eric the Tech, fresh off of a long weekend.
Yep.
How are you this Monday morning?
Pretty good. How about you?
Yeah, very, very good. I spent the weekend. I'll tell you what, folks. I spent the weekend with Russ Dizdar and his team, members of his team, including, I just want to give a shout-out to Pastor Gene Mullins, Jordan. I'm not going to give any last names from henceforth here. But Jordan, Ryan, Kyle, Sherry, Jody, Aaron, Linda, thank you so much. You know, it was a pleasure to spend time with you and get to know each one of you. And thank you so very much for allowing me to be part of your team. But this weekend, folks, I did spend time with Russ Dizdar and his team. And I've got to tell you something. You know, when you're dealing with the investigation of human and child sex trafficking, you are looking at, it's an extremely serious topic, extremely serious and extremely emotional and dark and dark. I'll say this, Russ and his team, they are absolute pros at what they do. Just like Craig Sawyer from Vets for Child Rescue, absolute pros. Now, you know, Russ and Craig, they don't get on the air and just simply talk or regurgitate headlines about child sex trafficking, human trafficking, cold case homicides that are associated with SRA victims and such. No. They actually go out into the field and, conduct the investigations, work with law enforcement and get to the bottom of different cases. And that's what they do. And I'll tell you what, I saw them work. I backed them up in certain cases this weekend. I watched them work. And they're really, really good at what they do. So thank you so much. And that was why we were off on Friday. All right. So just so you know, because we were out, doing that. So thank you. Thank you. Next order of business. I want to just say, thank you to everyone who's ordered the book In the Dark of Night, my latest book, In the Dark of Night. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for, putting an honest review on Amazon. We're rating it honestly on Amazon. I appreciate that. Also, you know, it's something I really wasn't familiar with, but Goodreads, if you go to goodreads.com and look me up there on Goodreads. Now that's really an interesting, website. So, leave a rating, leave a review of In the Dark of Night, if you don't mind, on Goodreads as well. That's really it's really nice. So I enjoyed watching the reviews and such. And I want to thank everyone who took the time out just to provide an honest review at Amazon. And you know what? Do the same at Goodreads if you're familiar with that website. All right. A couple of things. John Moore is joining me today, thelibertyman.com. Oh, yes, yes, yes. It's Monday, so he's joining me for the show. I just want to touch on one thing before I bring John on. You know, when you look at the spending habits of Americans over the last year, really since the start of the Communist Chinese Party virus, the pandemic or plandemic or scandal, whatever you want to call it, you look at the spending habits of people. There was a report that was just issued. After the governments locked down major parts of the economy, now you got to go back to really take this from March of last year. Consumer spending dropped almost 7% in March alone. And another, in addition to that 7%, another nearly 13% following that. Now, there was some recovery, but the economy remained somewhat depressed for the rest of the year. And it really only recovered in the, to its previous trend in March, if you can even call that a recovery, March and April. It was kind of a bump, if you will. Personal consumption expenditures. When you look at the data from the Bureau of Economic Analysis, BEA, there's something really interesting, folks, and something telling about this. Okay? And tell me what you think. Spending, there were three categories of items that carried the day in terms of consumer spending. Number one, trucks. Would you have guessed that, Eric the Tech? Trucks. Spending on light trucks.
Duh.
But spending on light trucks, that trend gained momentum just right before the lockdowns. Now, it dropped at first with the lockdowns, but then quickly recovered, and then rose to record highs by June of last year. So, and the purchase of light trucks continued to climb. It went actually exceeded $370 billion in April, nearly 54% above the June record of last year.
What do they mean by light trucks? Like 1500s or mid-sized trucks?
Maybe I should say non-commercial trucks. How's that?
Pickup trucks.
Pickup trucks. Small utility trucks, that kind of thing. What they're saying is, Americans poured in addition to what they normally spend, they poured an additional $785 billion into trucks between March of 2020 and April of this year, compared to what they would have spent pre-pandemic, scandemic, or whatever you want to call it, compared to the previous pattern. Okay, so that's number one. The second item that was purchased, now this is not in financial order, okay. The second item, computers.
I was going to say mud tires, but...
Mud tires, okay. Well, yeah, it would make sense, right? Computers and software. Computer software and peripherals, accessories. Now, I can almost see this. In other words, people are home and, you know, they're looking for, I don't know, are you looking for something to do? Or perhaps by the, you know, through the need of working from the residence, you're going to need some sort of decent computer. But the spending on this is actually a little bit more than what was expected.
What was the comparison pre-COVID?
Right. Pre-pandemic, I suppose. These are words that are issued by the BEA. So pre-pandemic spending patterns. That's the baseline. And then post, you know, lockdown patterns. So you're looking at this vast upward trend of, money going into computers and peripheral stuff for computers. But of course, I'll bet you, Eric the Tech, you can guess what the third item was.
Should be number one, firearms.
There you go. Bada bing, bada bang.
I bet you it is number one.
I could have started out with this, but okay. But firearms and ammunition spending.
Yeah, computers don't shoot bullets.
Mine does. No, you're right. But when you look at the spending in this category, it reached about $120 billion in March and April of this year, which is actually more than 43% above February of 2020. We have set records for every single month since last year, early last year, of purchasing guns and ammunition. Now, the BEA, they combine gun and ammo spending along with durable sporting equipment and such. So it's, you've got to kind of really extrapolate from the figures. So the figures are really, now this according to the BEA, you can't really depend on what the BEA, what they offer, but because of the combination, again, of the durable sporting equipment and such. But you can also look at the Department of Justice statistics as, in terms of the background checks. So, but the background checks don't tell you how many firearms are purchased, nor do the background checks really reflect any ammunition purchases. So this is kind of, the reason I mention this is because the ammunition is often ignored when we talk about firearms purchases. But if you don't have ammo, they're nothing but baseball bats or, you know, like a gun to, like something to throw at somebody, okay? If you don't have ammo. So, the COVID 1984 and the lockdowns really propelled spending in the, firearms and ammunition. That really, above everything else, that really triggered. So the, I found it very interesting. Three areas: light trucks, computers, and their related equipment. And, you know, I can see that, okay. But the firearms, as everyone would know about the firearms, my goodness, you'd have to be living under a rock if you didn't know that. So that was rather interesting, a little piece of equipment or a little piece of information I think everyone can use. Now, I've been doing a lot of research, of course, as you know. The Fauci emails, 3,234 pages of Fauci emails. I've gone through quite a few of them. Now, they're redacted. You know, there's a lot of redactions there. But one thing I found, and in fact, this is going to be in the next issue of Wisconsin Christian News. My column is going to be dedicated to the Fauci emails. Now, one thing, well, a number of things from these emails. Number one, the weaponization, the gain-of-function work that is really the weaponizing viruses. But even more importantly than that, in my view, and folks, you have to go through, again, 3,200 emails to really understand and understand who people are. For example, Dr. Francis Collins, of course, Fauci, the face of the face of COVID 1984, and so on. But the emails show this infusion of the Communist Chinese Party infiltration into our medical and military and military, the military medical, different, okay, different with a distinction here, industries. So not only this whole thing, I guess what I'm trying to say is this. We have been infiltrated by the Communist Chinese Party in every aspect of our society, in every aspect of what we do. But this specific virus, and again, there's a virus out there. It was tweaked. It did not originate in nature. It was man-made, and I've got some things to show, and you're going to have to watch the screen here because some videos are out there that will prove to you that this was not, again, this did not occur in nature. This was actually this. The emails show this. The emails prove this, although the Fauci emails prove this, although the mainstream media will say, oh no, they don't prove anything like that. Well, yes, they do. But before that, if we have just 10 seconds of the Monday Morning Funnies before we bring John Moore on, do we have that ready? Just to kind of get you in the mood for Monday, for the week, you know, because we are so happy today. We are so happy it's Monday, and we are so happy for the people in our lives, like Fauci and Francis Collins and Barrick, Ralph Barrick, and others, and Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. We're just, I mean, you just can't beat it. So let's engage in just a 10-second little bit of, I don't know, song, shall we?
Fauci, give us vaccines. Help all the people who have been quarantined.
Not only did Zachary write us...
Okay, stop there. Yeah, there you go. Now, I'm not making fun of that young man, of course, the autistic young man doing that. I am making fun, of course, of the media that is just pumping all of the non-vaccine vaccines, and just absolutely not addressing the real problem. So, but anyway, John Moore from thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. John Moore here to join me today and be part of the program, obviously, and to talk about a couple of issues. How are you, sir?
Wonderful, Doug. How are you doing?
Very, very, excuse me, very well. Yeah, very well. It's been a busy weekend, and I trust you had a good weekend?
It was a delightful, restful weekend. I needed a break, and I got a break, so it was very nice. Thank you.
That's good. That's good, yeah. We do need breaks. All right. So here's kind of what I thought, if you don't mind. We have a lot of time to address multiple issues. But since the Fauci emails were made public, and I've gone through, like I said, and I got to tell you, man, that's a tedious task to go through 3,200 and some odd emails. And there's more coming, but nonetheless. And these emails were a product of BuzzFeed and the Washington Post, their FOIA requests, and they were posted by the same online. And you can download them as well. But, there is this issue. MSM, the mainstream media, is talking now about, well, wait a second. President Trump, at one point said this virus, this issue was man-made, and he got excoriated for this. Now the mainstream media is reporting genome sequencing of COVID seemingly proves it was made in the lab. This is mainstream media, MSM. Daily Mail, I think it might be attributed to, but we have a picture of that. I don't know if you can see that, but we have a picture of the, image, a link to the web page, where they admit this. It's possible. It's even more than prompt. It looks like it's man-made. It was made in the lab. And, okay, we don't even, don't put that up. There it is, right there. Look at that. So genome sequencing of COVID seemingly proves it was made in the lab. Folks, this link will be in the Hagmann Report, HagmannReport.com, in the episode description box. The link to this report will be there. I would urge you to read it, but read it with the understanding this is in the mainstream media. John, lethality of this particular Chinese Communist Party virus is on a healthy individual is not much more than the normal, influenza. But the fact that they tweaked this, that doesn't surprise you, does it?
No, not at all. Well, we first started getting this information in March of last year, Doug. Some of the scientists and doctors that you and I both know were already coming to the same conclusion. Now that it's gone mainstream, Mike Adams, you and I know, put out a video 3 days ago saying the following, that because the laboratory nature of this virus is being released publicly, which is next is going to be the intentional release of the virus, that the Chinese communists are moving up their timetable to invade and take over the United States by several years, with Mike Adams' private sources, and Mike has some excellent sources, as you and I know. Mike's private sources saying that between now and the end of the year, which is just a fraction more than 6 months, that the communist Chinese will make their move and go from the various types of warfare that we're in right now. It's called asymmetric warfare, which includes biological warfare, cyber warfare, cultural warfare, economic warfare, is going to move into the actual kinetic phase. Now, that's according to Mike Adams. I hope he's wrong. But I could see where China intends to conquer the United States, and they're not going to let this opportunity slip away, are they?
No, not at all. Now, John, I'm going to, because I want to expand on this, because there are a lot of people who are obviously and understandably concerned about this. You're talking about a country, meaning China, communist China, invading the United States, physically occupying or attempting to occupy the United States. Is just to be clear, and I don't mean to be, you know, nitpicky here, but to be clear, is that what we're talking about?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Well, the World War III is already underway.
Yes.
It's just being fought in manners that doesn't involve tanks, planes, and firearms. It involves about 20 different ways to wage warfare. The most obvious are economic warfare, biological warfare, which is, of course, the COVID-19, cultural warfare, which has been going on for many decades, political warfare, and so forth. So the next step is to ramp it up and go to the actual kinetic phase, which initially would involve non-Chinese actors, the drug cartels from south of our border, illegal aliens that have been pouring into this country from all over the world, not just Guatemala, but illegal aliens from Afghanistan and Iran and Iraq and other Middle East countries, Pakistan, who come here with evil intent.
Correct.
What we might call sleeper agents, men and women who have been trained to conduct covert warfare that will come here under cover of darkness, be at a location where they may have a part-time job working at a restaurant or something, but what their real purpose is to wait for the signal to become active and conduct sabotage and assassinations. And when the balloon goes up, as we say, that's exactly what they'll do, Doug.
Okay. Now, so last night during our Patreon meeting of that we had, all right, so I can understand, absolutely understand where this could very well happen, an invasion of the United States, especially after we have been so softened or weakened, I should say, from attacks on our infrastructure, meaning our grids, supply chains, and this was not discussed, but it needs to be, because I think you made a really excellent point. There are sleeper agents in this country, and they're proxies really for foreign interests, China being one of them. You got Chinese stealing our intellectual property. In some cases, under Clinton gave the Chinese, communist Chinese, our intellectual property. But there was some discussion there. Oh, the United States is too big. It would be an impossibility, for example, for the Chinese to invade the entirety of the United States. But what wasn't discussed and wasn't mentioned was what you just said. Look, there are assets already here, you know, including MS-13. And I have to say this, having seen the reports and having seen the actual, a few of the actual, I want to say, infiltration and murderous activity of MS-13, I'm convinced that not only are they satanic and evil, but they're also acting not just for themselves, but, you know, for a foreign interest, because that's the way they operate. Would you agree with that, or with respect to like MS-13 and others acting?
Well, I've had private confirmation, Doug, of these infiltrators coming into regional airports. Now, most people fly in and out of the major airports, which are really busy 24 hours a day.
Right.
But these regional airports, once the sun goes down, there's a custodian there. Maybe there will be a couple of people in the control tower, but the place is pretty much vacant, these regional airports. One that comes to mind is Springfield, Missouri. So these planes, A-Land, they're under cover of darkness. There's SUVs and vans waiting to take these men, mostly almost all men, I don't know if there's women present or not, and disperse them on the interstate highway to all parts of the country. Now, that's been going on for years, Doug. We don't know how many are here. We don't know where they are. And we simply have a lot of questions and a lot of unknowns here. But what we do know definitely is that they are here and they have evil intent. Along with Russian Spetsnaz, the Russian Special Forces. They take 5-year-olds out of the Russian kindergartens. They put them in a Spetsnaz kindergarten where they learn to speak English with a Alabama accent or with a Northeastern accent, depending on what school they go to. And they're immersed in American culture, American movies, American music, American books, American dress and food, so that when they reach their 18th birthday, you can't tell them apart from a native-born American, and that's the plan. And I've been told privately that the Spetsnaz has a team of these men in all 3,300-plus counties in the United States. I've been able to independently verify the truth of that on my own. I've been to some of these locations. One of them I've talked about a number of times is in Bado, Missouri. That's B-A-D-O, Bado, Missouri, Texas County, Missouri, about 30 miles south of the south gate at Fort Leonard, which is a major Army base with, I think, 3 commands there. They're so proud of what they're doing that they have YouTube videos of them harvesting apples. They're pretending to be a Russian alcohol and drug rehab facility out of St. Petersburg, Russia. The leader claims a number of years ago, 10, 12 years ago, whatever it was, 15, he was on a road trip going from somewhere out west to Florida. Well, you don't go through Texas County, Missouri, because there's no interstate highways on a road trip unless you are really a tourist. He claims that he liked Texas County so much he decided to stay and moved his alcohol and drug rehab facility to Texas County, Missouri, where they are as we speak. They have a sign at the front gate, honey for sale. I know they're being monitored. I won't mention by what entities, but I know there's 2 different entities monitoring their activities. I've been told firsthand that really high-end cars, Mercedes and Audis, come and go constantly from there. That when one of their members goes to the local hardware store, if he has a $900 purchase, the debit card doesn't have it, he makes a phone call from the parking lot and it's on the debit card. If they need a $30,000 tractor, they just buy it and pay cash. I initially found out about this place inadvertently. A friend of a friend was a ready-mix truck driver delivering hundreds of cubic yards of concrete to this facility. And it took a while of backtracking to figure out who they were and where they were, but I did. And I've since located similar outfits in my county, Crawford County, and Dent County, which is just south of me. I'm working on the next county south of that. Haven't got an exact location yet. But they have interesting covers. The one in Salem, Missouri, Dent County, we found out that their public cover, and it's a cover story, is that they're a movie production company, Doug. And not this past winter, but the winter before, members of the movie production company were at the local gun range firing automatic weapons pretty much 7 days a week. What a perfect cover.
Yes.
What a perfect cover. If you're a movie production company, you have to have automatic weapons, and you have to practice with them, don't you, sir?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you want to be at all proficient with them, of course. Sure. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, okay. So what you're saying – now, let me just be clear that I understand what you're saying here. So what you're telling me is we have foreign nationals, assets – PLA related, People's Liberation Army, for example, or Russian Spetsnaz, Special Forces, whatever, in this country, under pretext, operating pretext businesses, fronts, if you will. Meanwhile, they're engaged in preparations to engage the Americans. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Well, a friend of mine was at a public range where there were some Spetsnaz out in Colorado, and he watched these guys shoot. And he said, "John, I've never seen anybody other than a high-level competitor shoot a pistol like these guys. They train hard. Fatalities in the U.S. military are so rare in training that there's usually a congressional investigation. Somebody dies in training with the U.S. military. They're so common in the Russian Spetsnaz that it's expected that men will die in routine training. It's a whole different mindset. They're highly respected. The Russian Spetsnaz are highly respected within the special forces community worldwide for their tenacity, for their training, for their commitment. They're looked at as being some of the best of the best.
Why? Okay, now you did mention that there is surveillance, if you will, on this one location that you're aware of. Now, if there are numerous other locations like that spattered all across the United States, and I do believe there are, because back subsequent to 2001, September, we found, of course, you know, Muslim Islamic training compounds. And they were very open about, you know, their existence. All right. So, but yet the FBI, even at that time, the FBI, seemed to cozy up to these people. And even in the face of, look, these people are conducting paramilitary training activities. Yet we could not get the federal government to act on any of the information that we turned over. So that seems to be kind of the same thing, same model of
well, it is.
Okay.
Well, Doug, it's been more than 20 years ago. I was at a public meeting and I identified a communist agent who was there. I knew the questions they asked. He thought he was just another dumb American who wouldn't know what those answers meant. So I called up an FBI agent that I knew the next morning to make my report, as a citizen should. And he says, "Oh, John, it's no longer part of our mission statement to investigate the activities of communists in this country." I was incredulous. I said, "That can't be true." He said, "Oh, yeah, that's the way it is." He didn't like it personally, but, you know, that's the mission statement, is to no longer investigate the activities of communists in this country.
You know, that doesn't surprise me. Especially look at how, I mean, look at everything that we are going through today, and that does not surprise me. Pretty much the same response to is, you know, well, we don't, you know, we know about it, but we don't really care about the Islamic training compounds and their, you know, we're not going to investigate that. We don't do that. So it's the same, but to say we don't investigate communists, okay, that's, you know, disturbing, not surprising, but disturbing. So, all right, so that's where we are then. So we have the enemy inside our gates hardening their outposts, if you will. So that's a force multiplier in a potential invasion, wouldn't it be?
Absolutely. Well, look at what the mission statement of Spetsnaz is. It's basically two things: to damage and destroy infrastructure, and to carry out assassinations. Who would they assassinate? Well, mayors, chiefs of police, school principals, preachers, owners of businesses, anybody who could be perceived as a leader in the community, any elected official. That's who would be on the list of assassinations.
Okay.
What would they blow up? Well, what would they destroy? Infrastructure, specifically communications, to be able to blind our command and control and make them unable to function.
Okay.
Power grid would come shortly after that.
Well, John, okay. Now, again, this was a point that was brought up during our conversation last night. What, and perhaps you can walk me through this. If the intent is to overtake and occupy the land, the United States, by a foreign power, Russia, China, Russia, whatever. Why would they destroy infrastructure that they would ordinarily need and use? Wouldn't that be?
Well, okay. Well, go ahead. Tell you about what they're not going to destroy. They're not going to destroy the water treatment plants. They're not going to destroy the locks and dams. They're not going to destroy the airports. They're not going to destroy the railroad infrastructure, which, for the reasons you just stated, they want this and they need it for themselves. Taking out communications, it can be done with hacking. You don't need explosives. That can be done from Mother Russia without ever leaving the country. You can take down parts of the power grid with hacking, which doesn't damage and destroy infrastructure, but puts us in the dark. So they'll be selective in what they destroy, so that they get the prize is the ability to grow more food in a more economic and fashion than any place on the planet. That's what they don't want to harm, and they are not going to harm that. But they will harm what they need. It would, might be a temporary harm from hacking. It may be more permanent in some cases. For example, command and control centers in the military. The Russians now have hundreds of nuclear weapons that put out almost no radiation. They're not terribly big. They may take out maybe 1 square mile, which would be more than enough to knock out command and control in these military bases, but not have the secondary problem of turning the country into a nuclear wasteland, because they don't want that either. But with a nuclear weapon that puts out almost no radiation, that makes it a lot more usable, doesn't it, Doug?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it would really ruin your day despite the lack of radiation. Yeah, I can see. Okay, yes. All right.
And they have many, many hundreds, possibly thousands of these small tactical nukes that put out almost no radiation. So they've been doing their homework for decades. The alleged collapse of the Soviet Union and East European communist countries was a contrived, staged event to give the appearance of being spontaneous. Or we're supposed to believe, Doug, that in all these East European countries, Hungary, Romania, Czechoslovakia, so forth, Poland, that young people in their teens and 20s all conversed on the national capitals. They held signs. They jumped up and down and said, we want rock and roll and blue jeans. And the countries with a standing army and a secret police all collapsed without a shot being fired. That's what we're supposed to believe, isn't it, Doug?
Yeah. Yes, that's okay. Yeah.
That's the public story.
That's right.
Well, it's now been publicly revealed that Lech Walesa was, in fact, a communist agent. The book that reveals this was written 5 years before these events took place. New Lies Rolled by Anatoly Golitsyn. Golitsyn was an intelligence operative working for the KGB doing long-range planning. And he escaped during the John Kennedy administration, revealing what would happen in the future because he was part of planning it. So it was all contrived. It was all planned in advance. And thank goodness he wrote a book about it 5 years before these events took place. And I've taken that book to any number of public presentations, Doug, and I'll hold it up and I'll say, here's a book that talks about the fall of the Berlin Wall. Here's a book that talks about the East European communist countries collapsing and becoming democracies. Here's a book that talks about the Soviet Union collapsing and becoming a democracy. And then I hand a book with a cover, with a page open to the publication date, and I'll have somebody read the publication date, 1984. And they're shocked. And they're surprised. This is my reality. My reality is Soviets, the communist Chinese, they intend to conquer the world. China knows that this century is their century. They know that in their mind, in their warped communist way of thinking, they believe that since Chinese explorers were here before Columbus, that this is their country. They really do believe that, Doug. Just like they believe Taiwan, which has never been under communist control, should be returned to communist control. How can you return something to control that was never part of it in the first place, Doug?
Precisely. Yeah. The Bill of Goods, the psychological warfare operation against the American people, that's what we're seeing, isn't it? I mean, convince the I don't want to seem like I'm being disparaging of the American population, but there are a lot of useful idiots out there that really don't know history and don't know what's going on. But to convince this massive population that, hey, you know, we stole the land or the land belongs to, insert, you know, desired demographic there, okay? That's part of a psychological operation that's been going on. And I think that you rightfully pointed out, Golitsyn's
his documenting here's what Golitsyn did at the end of the workday. He would sneak out in written notes, which if he had been caught, he would have been tried and executed for espionage. but he was successful. He was a smart guy. Mm-hmm. I think he's still alive, sure. But he was able to escape Russia, come to the United States, where he was debriefed by MI5, the Brits, British intelligence, and CIA, and I assume FBI was part of it too. And they basically thought, well, Golitsyn, you're a nutcase. That all these East European communist countries are going to collapse, that the Soviet Union is going to collapse without a shot being fired.
Right.
But he was absolutely right on with his knowledge, because he was part of it. He was part of the long-range planning.
Right, exactly. He had the inside track on this. Now, to what you were saying, I don't want to jump around here necessarily, but we're talking about communism. And communism, either under the old Soviet-style communism or the Maoist kind of communism, it's communism. Now, one thing – okay, so I mentioned the virus early, you know, the Communist Chinese Party virus. And again, it's my contention, and I'm prepared to back this up, and this especially based on the Fauci emails, it's my contention that this was, as you said, we've been at war with communists, but specifically communist China now for 30 plus years. After Clinton and company gave away the company store to China. This, of course, before that, Kissinger, Nixon opening the doors to trade to China. So, let me set this up and ask you this question. To the extent that we are vulnerable, something that's been bothering me, and I've been researching this, and I'm sure you are so familiar with this and you know about this. So, it was right after the Communist Chinese Party virus was released. I started doing a lot of research into Chinese purchases in the United States. And even before that, because what bothered me was China purchasing the Waldorf Astoria Hotel. Okay, why would they do that? But even more importantly, they're purchasing residential real estate, land, farmland, aside from ports and stuff. But President Trump comes into office, and man, he put down the hammer on that. The trade dispute between the U.S. and China reached like a fever point back around the time that virus, the CCP virus, was let out, and the. It effectively destroyed, in my view anyway, put President Trump on a shelf, or neutered President Trump's ability to fight against the tariff and trade imbalance that he so adeptly conducted. So, if you remember back, and there was an article in Market Watch, it was May 16th of 2019. If you remember, there was a big brouhaha that China and the United States, they were going at it. The trade issues, concerns that the two countries would not resolve this dispute. The Dow Jones average dropped, precipitously, briefly. Okay. The S&P 500 dropped. Chinese investors, though, biggest purchasers of U.S. residential and farmland for six consecutive years. But President Trump's trade war and China's efforts to reduce that, I got to find that phone and kill it. I don't know where it is. So, hang on a second here. But anyway, you go ahead and if you can comment on that. This is part of the plan, right? I mean, this is all part of it. And they had to get rid of Trump.
I got some follow-up on that.
Please.
Private source, he is in Connecticut, right next to New York City, and a lot of his clients live and work in New York City. He says the Chinese are buying up entire buildings, residential buildings, in that lower Manhattan, and they're sitting empty. Now, the Chinese aren't stupid. If you're buying something as an investment, which would be, in this case, residential rental property, you would be renting out those units, which I think it's a fair statement that that's some of the most expensive real estate on the planet, along with Tokyo, maybe a few other places. But why would a financially savvy investor buy some of the most expensive rental property in the world and let it sit vacant? That doesn't make any sense, does it?
No, not at all.
Well, it makes perfect sense.
Well,
it makes perfect sense if you're going to need housing for your people that are going to be running the country. My personal belief is that D.C. is going to be wiped out, quite frankly, that it would be a very symbolic gesture on the part of our enemies to take out some of our most important historical places there in Washington, D.C. And they're going to need a capital to work from, and I believe that capital will be New York City.
Okay, I can see that, because there's a concentration of, as you said, of purchases of residential property in New York, specifically in New York. And for people who don't believe this, in 2018, Chinese buyers accounted for about 25% of total foreign investments in the United States residential real estate. So think about that. So a quarter of foreign investments in U.S. residential real estate was from China. And of the somewhat 284,000 properties that were sold to foreign buyers in 2019, 40,400 or 15% were bought by Chinese nationals. And even 5 years before that, the numbers were pretty close to the same, not that far off. So, yeah, I think we should be concerned about this. Wow.
Well, of course we should. Of course we should. And our military has gone back to being politically correct with President Trump gone. We have body armor being modified for pregnant women to engage in hand-to-hand combat. We have body armor. We have flight suits being modified for pregnant women to fly combat aircraft in combat. Things that when our soldiers, when American soldiers go to these NATO conferences, they're made fun of. Our soldiers are made fun of by the other soldiers. No military does this. People point out the Israeli military. That was a few months of war in 1947. They were up against the ocean, literally, fighting for their lives. And, yes, women served in combat in Israel, but they don't do that anymore. They haven't done it since 1947. Women serve with pride and distinction in non-combat roles in the Israeli military, as they did in our country for many, many decades, with pride and distinction and honor in the medical corps, which is the best and highest use for the talents of a woman, and a safe use of their talents as well. General Wainwright surrendered at Corregidor. He had plenty of men and weapons and ammunition. He surrendered because he had 400 nurses that he wanted to protect and make sure they were safe. That's why he surrendered. He wasn't, he was ready to keep on fighting, but he did the right thing to make sure that American women were safe. And as brutal as the Japanese were to the American male soldiers, they did treat the female nurses with humane treatment. So the Western way of thinking is to protect women, not to put them in a combat uniform, put them in combat. That's just insane.
Yeah, and that goes back, in my view, too, and in the larger sense, this goes back to the destruction of the biblical or nuclear family, where you've got the man of the house protecting the female, the woman, handling the affairs for the family, right? Protecting the wife and children. Now it's just flipped. And notice, folks, notice the attack on the nuclear family. And part of that attack, as you said, you've got this push for, this equality. So we're going to adapt the flight suits for pregnant flyers. But even worse than that, look at today where you've got this is another layer of this, the transgendered or the LGBTQ movement, the flags on the uniforms and the helicopters and flyers and all this. I mean, this is very wrong, and it's really hurting our, it's hurting us.
It's hurting military readiness. My My friend commands Sergeant Major Dan Page. We got some of his work on my website. He could give you a one-hour lecture easily on the detrimental aspects of women being integrated into the Corps as opposed to being segregated to the Medical Corps, where they have served with honor and distinction for many decades. Yep. It's very disruptive. When I went back into the Army in 1979, I went back to my old unit I was with in Vietnam, and there were women in there. And it was unusual to see these women performing these roles. I remember we had a practice patrol where we had a female sergeant leading the patrol, and I was watching her hold her M16, and I noticed that her fingers were sticking straight out. And I said, "Well, Sergeant, why are you doing that?" She says, "Oh, so my nails can dry."
yeah, Eric the Tech does that too when he's at the range. Okay.
So my nails can dry. So we're in a simulated combat patrol in the woods, and the sergeant leading it has her finger sticking straight out instead of properly grasping the M16 to hold it properly. She had her nails, fingers sticking straight out for the nail polish to dry. And we have to bring porta potties with us into the field.
Yeah.
Of course, women are prohibited from having a backpack that's 25 pounds or maximum 25 and no more than 25% of their body weight. But the maximum weight they can have in a backpack is 25 pounds, which means the other 75 pounds that would be needed is split up between the men in the unit. It's typical for a man to go into combat with 100 pounds of gear. That's not unusual at all. And women aren't going to come anywhere close to being able to do that. Women can't pick up an injured buddy, fireman's carry, and carry that injured buddy back towards an aid station. They don't have the upper body strength. But our enemies know this, and it's been a mission for our enemies to lessen our military combat capabilities by the things they're doing, bringing women to the military, making homosexual activity normal and okay in the military, and even changing. I know that my friend Command Sergeant Major Page was telling me about how going back to the body armor situation, a woman generally has a shorter neck than a man, and they look, and when they got their helmet on and their body armor, they look like a little turtle. And so the Army was spending, I don't know how many tens of thousands of dollars trying to figure out how to have body armor and a helmet that would protect the women and not make them look like a little turtle. And it just goes on and on, Doug. The Army did an experiment in the 1980s in a training operation in Korea, a simulated invasion of North Korea to see what would happen. And what happened was everything broke down and the men stopped doing what they were supposed to for their mission and were protecting the women to make sure the women were evacuated instead of remaining at their combat post to deal with the North Korean invasion. And that's what men do. American men protect their women. Yep. There's no amount of training that can change it. There is no amount of training that's going to change that, is there, Doug?
We just had the anniversary, the anniversary of D-Day, okay? And I might add that Biden failed to recognize the D-Day anniversary, which is shameful. 77 years ago on Sunday, all right, we had our men go to, in some cases, certain death, on D-Day. But Biden, nope, not a word. Didn't say
word. I'll tell you what he did recognize yesterday.
Yes, go ahead.
The 100th anniversary of these riots in Tulsa. Now, that's by design. That's by intent.
Yes.
The intent is to cause racial disharmony in this country.
Yes.
To cause racial hatred in this country. That's by design. This event did happen in Tulsa a century ago. It was unfortunate. It was tragic. But commemorating it in the fashion it was does not add to the public discourse. It doesn't add to societal harmony. It makes our country more fractured along racial lines. And that's the intent, isn't it, Doug?
It is. And now combine that, because this conversation is really all of these parts that we're talking about is part of the larger agenda here. It's the intended destruction of the United States. And you go back to what I said, you know, earlier about the Chinese Communist Party virus, made in a lab. By the way, I would like to do this, because this is really kind of making, not kind of, this is making the news. And once again, from the emails, it is being proved that this is a scientific creation. Well, who created it? Well, it was China's PLA, the People's Liberation Army, developed this bioweapon with the assistance of useful idiots. So with your permission, I'm going to play this clip. My friend Lawrence Sellin, Dr. Lawrence Sellin, discusses how China's PLA developed COVID bioweapons. And this came at a time, too, because we're talking about China, we're talking about the communist overthrow of the United States from within and from without. So it's my contention that this bioweapon was intended to take down President Trump because, as I mentioned too, look how hard he was on China with trade. Look at how he turned things around manufacturing-wise. And that lasted until what? Until everything was disrupted by this weapon. So with your permission, may we play this segment from...
Let's hear it.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
This is Dr. Sellin on Steve Bannon's War Room yesterday, I believe it was. And that's Eric the Tech. That's clip one. And it's a video clip. And it's from the show prep material. Clip one. Oh, he's getting to it. But let me know. It's an insightful look into the origins. And do you know something? Okay, you got it? Okay, go ahead and play it.
Dr. Sellin, if you could just kind of reset for a second and outline, A, why we know this virus didn't just, A, come from nature, B, come from the Wuhan Institute of Virology and just kind of a lab leak theory, and how the PLA was involved and what they're doing to cover it up.
Well, you only need to look at the structure of the virus to know immediately that it was not from nature, because it has so many different anomalies. I mean, first of all, it appeared to be pre-adapted for human infection, but there are structural anomalies there. For example, there's a furin cleavage site which doesn't exist in any other bat coronavirus relative that we can find. And we know that an insertion of a furin cleavage site would increase infectivity and pathogenicity, make it essentially more lethal. And we also know that PLA scientists know how to insert that. So, but most of all, I think for ordinary people to understand, we've been over a year now, almost 18 months, and no one can identify a natural origin of this virus. So I think it's crystal clear at this point that it came from a laboratory. It came from, in fact, the PLA's biowarfare program. Now, I think there's been a lot of attention focused on the Wuhan Institute of Virology, but the PLA had a much broader system. They were working on this virus at a number of different places, and different levels of the PLA were working on it. So, you know, I think the first step, of course, is to make sure everybody understands that it comes from the laboratory, and I think it's necessary now to make the link between the actual and true link between the laboratory creation of this virus and the People's Liberation Army.
All right, but pause that for just 1 second. Folks, what he's saying now and what he's going to say next is exactly what John Moore, thelibertyman.com, John Moore, exactly what he, what John Moore has been saying, what he's about to say next, and to some extent what he just said. I just want to kind of punch that in there, because if you think John Moore doesn't know what he's talking about, well, I'll tell you what, Colonel Lawrence Sellin knows exactly what he's talking about, and so does John Moore. Go to thelibertyman.com, bookmark that website, make sure you follow his news and radio program. Go ahead.
Yeah, we had reporting at the National Pulse on how about I'd say 3 or 4 months ago, the Wuhan Institute of Virology, their Chinese language website, had actually scrubbed the names of researchers who previously had listed affiliations with various arms of the People's Liberation Army and universities that they fund. So you definitely are right that, A, the PLA had a deep hand to play in COVID-19, but also that they're attempting to cover it up. So I'm just curious. You've obviously done a lot of research on this. You have an amazing army of Chinese people who are helping you translate and really dig deeper into the origins of this virus. So when you see people like, say, Peter Daszak, Jeffrey Sachs, even Anthony Fauci going up there spewing what I would say are Chinese Communist Party talking points about where the virus came from, do you think that that's just ignorance and not understanding what's going on, right? They haven't seen the information. Or do you think that there's something more nefarious going on with regards to, say, where their allegiance lies, the kind of money they've been taking, the business deals they've been inking? You know, why have we seen from virtually every single, whether it's mainstream media outlet, you know, mainstream kind of scientific talking head, why have they been propagating and really purveying this? First of all, the natural origins theory, now pivoting to the lab leak theory. But why are they so keen on covering up the Chinese military's involvement with the origins of this virus?
Well, you're right on target, Natalie. They are culpable, in my opinion. They have been covering up the laboratory origin of the virus since the very beginning, and they all have vested interests. As you point out, you know, their careers, money, their professional reputations are all on the line. So, you know, they have, in my opinion, have deliberately downplayed the idea and suppressed, in fact, any discussion of a laboratory origin, you know, of COVID-19. So I think going forward, we're going to have to look very carefully in terms of possible criminality of what they've been engaged in since this pandemic began.
Natalie, let me just jump in for a second. I just got to ask about that Hugh Hewitt interview. You know, Natalie's done is now starting to focus on Collins, who's really the head of NIH. I mean, he's the grand poobah. He gave a Hugh Hewitt interview that he said, listen, you know, just because the Chinese Communist Party has some affiliation or has some maybe knowledge of Wuhan, it doesn't mean that the scientists there, these scientists are among the best scientists in the world. He made it seem like, you know, the CCP is like the Kiwanis Club or, you know, some local chapter of the Republican Party. What say you to that, Colonel Sullivan? We specifically had a question put to him by Hugh Hewitt, and that was the answer he gave. What say you, sir?
Well, the CCP knows that, and they're exploiting it. You know, he's a useful idiot, this Dr. Collins, in my opinion. So, you know, it's they've been doing this for 30 years now. They've been sending PLA people, CCP scientists, into the United States, you know, to access knowledge and skills, sometimes intellectual property, and then they've been exploiting our openness. I think it's, you know, borders on sheer stupidity and negligence for anyone in that position to make those types of comments.
Okay, you can cut that out here.
I'm just curious.
And it goes on. The link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com in the episode description box. So, John, gee, it sounds like Dr. Sullivan, Colonel Sullivan, you and you are coming from the same, I mean, it's, you guys are saying the same words.
Pretty much. I'm glad to see that he's saying it. We're in deep trouble here, Doug. You know, Mike Adams, Judy Mikovit,
yep.
We got Mike Yaden,
yep.
A couple others, the gentleman from France who won the Nobel Prize in Virology. There's consensus among all these individuals that people are going to die from the COVID shots. There's no consensus about the percentage. Will it be 15%, 20, 50, will be everybody. No consensus as to how many will die, and no consensus as to how soon, 6 months, a year, 18 months, 2 years.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because when you're done, I've got a question for you. So,
well,
go ahead.
We're going to lose many millions of Americans. That on the low end of prognostication from these people, you know, when you when you're vice president and head of research at Pfizer, you got some serious credentials. Mm-hmm. When you won a Nobel Prize in virology, you're in a very rarefied air that very few human beings will ever have that level of knowledge and expertise. When you got men like that saying people are going to die, it's time to sit up and wake up and smell the detective's choice coffee.
Yeah.
It is. Because, it's John Moore can say people are going to die. It's a big so what. I'm a homicide detective. I have no credentials in science.
Right.
When it came to science in high school, I was on the football field. But these men and women have very serious, world-class, at the very highest level. You know, Anthony Fauci is never going to win a Nobel Prize in virology. That's not going to happen. But the guy who did is saying these COVID shots are poison. So my job and your job, Doug, and all of us in the alternative media, is to warn the Americans who have not yet got the COVID shot to not get it, because it's a death shot. By design, it's intended to be. I just got an email this morning. One of my listeners sent me a photograph. There's a technique for analyzing blood where you go into a clinic. It could be set up in an office anywhere. They draw a little blood sample, and they look under a microscope. It's become so common that I've even seen it in my little community. And you can photograph these blood samples. And the photographs of these blood samples of people who had the COVID shot, there's little spikes coming off the blood cells that shouldn't be there. The blood cells should be completely round and smooth. And then within the blood itself, there's all these little foreign objects that are in there that shouldn't be in there. And this, your blood, of course, circulates to every part of your body. It goes through the blood-brain barrier, because it has to, obviously, to give blood to your brain. And we don't know the consequences. We know that these spike proteins are dangerous, that they're dangerous foreign objects in your body that should not be in your body. And we know it's going to kill people. We don't know how many. We don't know how soon. But I regard my job and your job, Doug, as to warn as many people as possible. I have a lot of great educational material at my website at thelibertyman.com.
Yep.
To educate people about the COVID shots and how dangerous they are.
Yes, you do.
The interviews and videos with Dr. Mike Yaden. Typically, a man who knows what Mike Yaden knows, he takes his retirement and goes off to some tropical island, and you never hear from him again.
Right.
You know, but that he's doing the right thing for the right reasons. He's a Brit, and as I frequently say, you take one look at this guy, you know he's not a Montana rancher. This is a man who spent most of his life indoors doing the important work that he did. And he's a big vaccine supporter, which I think is important as well.
Right.
So, Doug, we need to keep warning Americans. About half of all Americans have received at least one of these COVID shots. Warn them not to take the second one. Warn them not to take the booster. Not to take the first one if they haven't taken it. And if it costs you your job, you know, you can always get another job, Doug, but you only get one life.
Absolutely. Now, if folks, again, where you're going to find this information, go to thelibertyman.com, all smushed together, thelibertyman.com, and scroll down on his page. By the way, listen to the show, his show, Monday through Friday, right there at the top, and you can drill down from there into the archives. But, okay, so you've got on your front page the COVID-19 updates, panel one, and so on. But here's a question I have. Now, this homicide investigators, and this came up again during a conversation last night, and I'm going to ask you. I want to be sure I ask this correctly. Okay. If you're the enemy and you want to take out, you want to depopulate the world, okay, which I get that. Why, for example, let's look at the United States, because we're talking about the United States, but this would be for any Western country. As people are starting to wake up, you've got the jab kind of split along partisan lines. You've got the jab. People who have taken the jab are, for the most part, I'm not going to say all of them, but for the most part, are progressives, you know, they're, they trust.
Well, let me make an observation here. Doug,
okay, go ahead.
And I'll interrupt. This will help.
Okay.
Very dear friend of mine. He served in U.S. Congress and in Missouri State House before that as a state rep. And he says, John, any of our committees in the state of Missouri State House that involve science or technology, we generally have almost no Democrats. Now, he's an engineer himself, Todd Aiken.
Okay.
He was brutalized by the Republican Party, by the way, for being conservative. But that's an observation I think will help, because I'm sure that, the same premise carries forth in all state houses and in the United States House of Representatives, that these committees generally don't have very many, if any, Democrats at all. Please recall the Democratic representative, U.S. Congressman, who was in a committee hearing. He had a man testifying about building new buildings on Guam. And the U.S. Congressman, you've seen this, I know,
yeah, Hank Johnson,
expresses his concern that Guam may turn over.
Yeah.
I have to give credit to the man under oath giving the testimony. He managed to not break a smile and call the congressman a complete idiot, which he should have. But, you know, if you could get elected to Congress and think that Guam would turn over if it had too many buildings built on it, that's a good example of the level of intellect and level of low IQ we have in the United States Congress, isn't it, sir?
Exactly. And
you've seen that video, haven't
you? Oh, my goodness, have I seen that video. As a matter of fact, I think we have it in the archive here. But yeah, it's amazing. Guam will capsize and tip over into the ocean. That was Hank Johnson, and that was back, I think it was in 2010, 2011 time frame, 2011, I believe. But anyway, so you can't make this stuff up. But here's my question. My question in the larger sense. If your intent is to mass depopulation, okay, however, you want to keep some people around and alive to be your servants and slaves and whatever, you know, to mow your lawn and, at your castle or whatever.
Teach you how to run this stuff.
Right, but okay.
We have a very complex system that, you know, that, anyway, but go
okay, on. So here's my question, and this would address your experience as a homicide investigator in mind. Here's my question. Why would you, as the bad guy, okay, who wants to, you know, wipe out a significant portion of the population, why would you wipe out the very people who would be subservient and open to your wishes, as opposed to the patriots who are saying, I'm not going to take that jab. And those are the guys with, you know, people with the guns. We're the people with the guns. We're not going to take that jab. Why would you, and you know what I'm asking here? Did I ask that properly?
I understand the question completely.
Okay. All right. So
would you kill off the people most likely to be helpful for you?
Yes.
Well, first of all, this goes back to we hear racism thrown in our face all the time, and I've said this many times. Doug, unless you've been in the presence of communist Chinese, you don't know what racism is. You really don't.
Okay.
They know in their heart that the communist Chinese know that their race, the Chinese race, is the most handsome men, the most beautiful women, the most intelligent people, the most productive people on the planet, the most athletic people on the planet. And because they are the best people on the planet, they deserve to be ruling this planet. And the rest of us, us Caucasians, we're just useless eaters. They may make use of us until they don't need us, and then they'll kill us. Majority of us will be looked at as just something to be tossed aside and murdered as quickly as possible. Granted, they may keep some of us around to teach them how to run complex infrastructure. Brings to mind I had a brother-in-law who was transferred to Denver from St. Louis to train his replacement, after which he was fired. So they'll keep some of us around to learn how to manipulate and run and maintain complex equipment, complex infrastructure. But once they got their own people trained, then they'll kill off those Americans also.
Okay.
They want the United States with no Americans. That's their goal.
All right. So if I guess if I understand your answer correctly, it's going to be everyone in the United States and all Westerners, I guess I'm still having a hard time with, well, you know, these are the people that are getting the jab, or the very people that are kind of siding with you, the maskers, the people who are compliant to the orders, and you know, really not that.
They don't look at it that way, Doug. They just look at it as more dead Americans. They
okay. Really all right. All right. And that makes, you know, that does make sense, folks. Because I know you have that question. I know I get this question a lot. And, I guess we have to, in this case, think bigger than, don't we?
We do.
Okay.
We do. Well, it's hard to, the Oriental mind is difficult for Caucasians to comprehend. They plan decades in advance. So it's hard for Americans to plan more than a quarter, more than 3 months in advance. So maybe a few years out to build a big building, something like that. Hmm. But they plan decades in advance.
Sure.
That's just their nature, who they are. They're all very diligent students of General Sun Tzu, who wrote the book The Art of War before the Christian Bible was written.
Yes.
While The Art of War is mandatory reading in most military academies, it's a way of life for the Chinese Communist military.
Absolutely.
It is absolutely a way of life. The Art of War is deception. The Art of War is surprise. The Art of War is spying. The Art of War is psychological warfare. All those things. And that's who they are in their very being. You know, going back to Mike Adams, Mike has some very excellent private sources that I respect that, and I'm already taking action, personally action, based on what Mike has been saying to make sure my team has all our I's dotted and T's crossed, that last-minute preparations are either completed or well underway, that we have on the premises everything we need in case the balloon goes up beforehand. We have lots of extra lumber and plumbing and electrical parts, for example, so that if hardware stores aren't open, we got what we need on site. All the tools we need on site. Even though the work may not be done on site at the moment, we have what we need to complete the work. And I encourage everybody else to have a safe haven for them and their family, their team. Team can be family members, maybe people you go to church with, maybe neighbors, people you were in the military with or went to school with, coworkers. It doesn't matter as long as you've known these people for years and you trust them with your life.
Amen.
That's what it's going to come down to, Doug, is trusting each other with your life.
And that trust is not easy to come by, in my view. You know, it seems like the people that Steve Quayle is saying, you know, the people closest to you will do you. And I've seen that, you know, happen so many times. So you really have to be careful, and you have to really be vigilant about the people around you. So very good point, John. But by the way, libertyman.com, folks, thelibertyman.com, that's John Moore's website. Please bookmark the website. Listen to his program. It's such interesting and informative guests every day, every week, Monday through Friday, and I appreciate his expertise in all of this. Now, if I can kind of step back again, because I'm still in the people, I don't think people really understand what in the world has been going on, because we had President Trump in office, and obviously the communist Chinese suffered for it, and their useful idiots here suffered for it, and he did a lot to expose the communism, the compromise, the imbalances of trade, and so on and so forth. Okay, so one of the weapons deployed, obviously, was the PLA, the Communist Chinese Party virus. And remember, John, I know you know this, but I just want to tweak people's memories. Remember, because we're talking about the jab now, the vaccine, non-vaccine. And people are calling this kind of conversation. Oh, it's a conspiracy theory. It's conspiracy. It's all, it's unvetted conspiracy. But remember when President Trump talked about the origins of the CCP virus? If you, again, with your permission, just a quick flashback. This is a little bit shorter of a video here about the media using the same words, the lab leak theory, debunked, a conspiracy. Compare that to what you're hearing today about the jab, about what John Moore's talking about. With your permission, may we play this?
Let's hear it.
All right, here we go. Clip three.
...of COVID-19 still. So I wanted to ask, are you still confident that it developed naturally?
No, I'm not convinced about that. I think that we should continue to investigate what went on in China until we find out, to the best of our ability, exactly what happened.
This question about the Wuhan lab, we know that it's been debunked that this virus was man-made or modified or anything like that.
Coronavirus was man-made in a lab in Wuhan, China. And yet this week, Donald Trump is still pushing the debunked bunkum.
My question is, have you seen anything at this point that gives you a high degree of confidence that the Wuhan Institute of Virology was the origin of this virus?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have.
It's clearly the case that Trump is divorced from the facts.
He does not face reality or the facts. Coming up with a conspiracy theory to try and foment xenophobia.
He can't sit back and let his own intel community do their jobs. He's always got to go out. He's got to speculate. He's got to make things worse.
And then there's this theory, widely debunked. This paper from two Chinese researchers that says it is plausible that the virus leaked accidentally from one of two labs near the Wuhan seafood market.
People don't keep bats in captivity. Complete baloney.
We don't need to invoke conspiracy theories. It's just basic biology.
The conspiracy theories fill the void.
I'm telling you, the Chi-Coms are trying to weaponize this thing.
Here's conservative talk show host Rush Limbaugh, with zero proof, suggesting a Chinese bioweapon lab is to blame. A Chinese official tweeting, it might be U.S. Army who brought the epidemic to Wuhan.
The New York Times reporting, quote, the lab has been the focus of unfounded conspiracy theories promoted by the Trump administration about the pandemic's origins. Washington Post, those geniuses, called it a conspiracy theory that was already debunked. PolitiFact also labeled it a debunked conspiracy theory. One Voice, Fake News, CNN, they called it a conspiracy theory that, quote, almost certainly is.
Folks, you get the idea. John, you know, now we're talking about the jab and saying, look, this is a method of depopulation on your website, thelibertyman.com. It's there. The various sources are there under your COVID panels, plural. And Mike Adams, you referenced, and you spoke about it in detail from your various sources. So we're going through the same wash, rinse, repeat process with, you know, from the origins, which are now it's coming out that, hey, it was manufactured. But it's going to be the same thing with the jab. So there you have it. I guess we don't.
Well, this is what you just stated and what you showed and to the audience is backs up what Mike Adams has been saying, that the revelations that the Wuhan virus is definitely man-made, that it was released with intent by the Chinese communists. That's what Mike Adams' private sources are saying is going to speed up the Chinese timetable to begin the kinetic part of their ongoing World War III. World War III has already begun. You know, Doug, World War II was going for quite a few years before December 7th, 1941. You can go back to Japanese invasion of China. You can go back to the Italian invasion of Ethiopia, which was about as much as they could invade. and the German crossing into the Sudetenland, all of which happened many years before December 7th, 1941. It wasn't those events that were not being called World War II at the time, were they, Doug?
No. So
now
there you go. Go ahead.
Right now, what's taking place is not being called World War III, at least not by very many. My friend Jeff Nyquist, I think you know Jeff.
Oh, yeah.
He's calling it World War III. I'm calling it World War III. And many informed, intelligent people are calling what's happening right now World War III because, in our opinion, based on what we see, what we know, it is, in fact, World War III. They may not be using planes, tanks, and guns right now, but that's coming in the not-too-distant future, according to Mike Adams' private sources, Doug.
Yeah, yeah. And you know something? I can see this being set up, all right? I can see this being established. In fact, if this were a football game, it'd feel – and tell me if I'm wrong. Look, I don't have any inside knowledge. I don't know times. I don't know dates. I don't claim to know times or dates. I just have instinct. You know what I mean? I just feel like we're in the fourth quarter of a football game that's really kind of – in that fourth quarter, that clock is ticking down to something. And I'd mentioned this without – look, I don't have any direct evidence. It's kind of like a – I don't know. It would be like a pocket litter, if you will. Anecdotal evidence – no, that wouldn't even rise to anecdotal evidence. But just a collection of things where I'm looking at like late July, early August, or July and August as, you know, a potential for bad problems. I don't know why. I mean, again, it's more of a – I guess just more of a collection of anecdotes. Do you feel anything? And I know we don't like to talk time, but do you feel like there's something on the immediate horizon that just doesn't feel right?
I do. And I've learned over the decades to trust that feeling, to trust that instinct, going back to the 5 months before the Tet Offensive in Vietnam. I was in Vietnam maybe 7 or 10 days in the first week of September 1967 when my buddies of military intelligence were telling me, John, they're going to hit us hard with everything they got around the Chinese New Year celebration called Tet. And I took that to heart, and I began preparing for it. When my parents sent me that disgusting, heavy fruitcake, I kept the fruitcake. Anytime I was out and about, which I was pretty much 5 days a week, anytime I could beg, borrow, or buy ammunition, because as a rear echelon outfit, we weren't having access to ammunition like we should have. One night I pulled all night guard duty at an Air Force base. The commander in charge of the security of young Air Force major, he was so grateful that myself and my two buddies volunteered to be at the most vulnerable point on the perimeter of the airbase in exchange for all the ammunition that we could carry the next day. I should have made a harder deal. I should have asked for hand grenades and flares, but I went it easy on the guy, and he was so happy to get the help. So I've learned to trust those instincts, Doug, and I'm trusting him now. I'm making various upgrades to my personal preparedness, making sure I've got my water filter squared away, make sure my food inventory is just where it needs to be, and related items, so that if things happen, I'm ready to go. If it doesn't, I'm okay too.
Yeah, and I would urge everyone to do the same. I like that too, what you said. You know, I've always, that little voice in the back of your head or that little feeling, the spidey senses you might have, trust those. And as Christians, look, I believe that sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes those are little words from God, little instructions from God. Look, in order to save you, you know, keep you safe. But trust those little feelings that you get. And you know what, John? I've gone into places and turned around and got out of places because something didn't feel right. You know, so that voice has served me well, and I know it served you well. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If you don't have that kind of sense and you're on the street doing things that you and I did for decades, your odds of survival are dramatically reduced.
Yeah. or severe personal injury. Yeah, I get you. Indeed. So, okay. Having said all of this, and now, and we haven't even touched like the audits and stuff like that. let me ask you this question.
Well, the otters play a big role in this.
Yes, they do. Thank
now,
you.
Now, I'm going to throw something out for people to consider now. Sam Andrews said this morning he doesn't expect it would take a majority vote in the Supreme Court to overturn the election, which I think is going to happen. And here's why. There's people on the Supreme Court who are being controlled, and the people that control them want maximum chaos in this country. They want maximum destruction and disruption in this country. What better way than to have the Supreme Court rule the election null and void and put President Trump back in the Oval Office?
Oh,
what
boy.
Better way to have complete chaos, complete riots in the cities than to have that happen, Doug? That's why I think there's a high likelihood that it will.
You know, I'm glad you said that because I was sitting early this morning before the sun came up. I was sitting with my dog in my backyard. I mean, people think I'm nuts, okay? Sometimes I take a shovel out there, start digging a hole at night just to get my neighbors talking, saying, I wonder what he's digging. Okay, I'm kidding, of course. But no, I was sitting there this morning. I was thinking, you know something? Wouldn't it be, and John, exactly what you said, wouldn't it be the desire of those overlords to cause such, I mean, that would just create, what, a civil
war?
Well,
my Tuesday guest, former CIA field agent, Steve Ben Noon, he says part of the plan is to have Americans expend their ammunition on each other before the Chinese communists come here. Now, if that was my plan, Doug, if I wanted Americans to expend ammunition on each other, I'd put Donald Trump back in the Oval Office.
Sure. And you know, the Supreme Court, I don't know if there's any constitutional remedies, which I suspect why you mentioned the Supreme Court, you know, to overturn the election. All it would really take, though, would be for the states to
Once these states, Arizona, Georgia, Pennsylvania, and others, decertify the votes and the Electoral College has swung the other direction, there will be a lawsuit that will be filed. Probably Sidney Powell will probably write it up. And it will be in front of the Supreme Court in a day or two. And they'll have no choice but to rule in favor of the lawsuit to decertify the election and put Donald Trump back in the Oval Office.
Well, and that goes to something I heard this weekend. I think it was yesterday or the day before. Forgive me, I don't know the date, but it got people talking. I mean, it was almost as if people's heads were exploding when Donald Trump got on. I believe it was for a a campaign spot, and he said something about taking over Congress, but also getting back into the White House sooner rather than later. And I'm paraphrasing here, but the words that were used suggested, implied, inferred, whatever, that Donald Trump would be in the White House sooner rather than later, I guess is the only way I can state it, again, paraphrasing that. And I thought that was the honest thing for him to say, a very odd thing for him to say.
It's being backed up by people who are brilliant.
Yeah.
No nonsense. Like Sidney Powell. I spent an hour face to face, one on one with Sidney Powell in Dallas. This is an extremely bright woman, very serious woman. Steve Bannon, Mike Lindell. These are not Hollywood comedians. These are serious men and women who have serious information, not to be taken lightly. I don't know how long the list is of people on a first-name basis with the President of the United States, but they're on that list of being on a first-name basis with the President of the United States.
Yeah.
And people like that make statements like they've been making. It's foolish to disregard them, isn't it?
Look, you know, I've lived long enough where I have an open mind, but not so open that my brains fall out, okay? You know, I don't fall for anything, but I do recognize Sidney Powell, for example, as one of the more influential people in our country, especially when it comes to the legal system. In her book, License to Lie, folks, you can read about Arthur Andersen and Enron and all of that, the inside workings of that. And by the way, folks, that's not what it, I mean, you think you know the story? You don't know until you read that book and the corruption within the FBI and the Department of Justice. And she's one that, if she said, look, this is kind of the plan, I'd listen. And I know that, you know, you and her met in Dallas. And I'll tell you what, I've had just a brief encounter. She probably wouldn't remember. But, for as many people who dismissed Mike Lindell, too, you know, he's been saying some stuff. I don't know what he knows, but he's been saying some stuff. So, yeah.
He has. He's a self-made multimillionaire who overcame some severe difficulties in his personal life to accomplish the things he accomplished. And, I've known men and women who've had the difficulties he's had in their personal life, and most of them utterly fail in an attempt to even have a normal life, let alone become a multimillionaire. So I have a lot of respect for Mike Lindell to accomplish what he's accomplished. And, he's a very bright guy, very serious guy, not given to making statements that have no basis in reality. And he's been doing a great job exposing the election fraud in these various states, hasn't he, sir?
Oh, man, yeah, he has. And, a lot of people, especially on the left, will dismiss him, will dismiss Sidney Powell, and even some people on the right. I don't want to go there. I don't want to be, you know, some of that's really far out. Again, I don't know what they know. I'm certainly not a lawyer. John, I would defer to you. I think you're more of a lawyer than I would, you know, even though neither one of us are, but you know more of the legal stuff, being a paralegal and such. So, all I know is this. I believe that there will be states, including Arizona, including Pennsylvania and Georgia. Oh, Georgia, that will decertify the vote. And oh, by the way, Ruby Freeman's daughter issued a subpoena and told to bring all of her electronic devices, USB, flash drives, whatever, to a deposition this Thursday.
Who is this again, this person?
Okay, Ruby. Okay, so Fulton County, Georgia.
Okay.
Ruby Freeman's daughter is the one that was, I think I might have said Ruby Freeman, and I apologize. Ruby Freeman's daughter was subpoenaed, and that's, she's the, what would you call it, supervisor over her mother. You know? Yeah. So.
Culpeper County. Well.
But no, this is Georgia now. Fulton County.
Oh, in Georgia. Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, well, you're going to be seeing those kinds of subpoenas go out in a number of other states, including your state, Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to happen soon. It's got to happen in the next 4 to 8 weeks at the most. So it's going to be fast moving, Doug.
So, okay, in what you said, and I absolutely 100% believe the fact that if fraud is proved, and I believe it will be, it's without a doubt that President Trump actually won this election, and I have no doubt that he did. What you're saying, and I back you 100%, that in whatever mechanism they use to put him back in office, he gets back in office, not only will the left's heads explode, the media, it's going to be all out battle in the streets, in my view, like you said. And that's what is desired by the globalist elite.
Right. Makes it viable.
Yes, yes.
That's exactly what makes it viable, because it serves the purposes of the powers that be to have Donald Trump back in office.
Does that make Donald Trump, and I'm asking this not as a devil's advocate, but I'm asking this just to ask this to keep it objective, somewhat objective. Is that part of Donald, or let me rephrase that. Is Donald Trump part of that plan, or is he
a willing participant? I don't believe so.
Okay, that's where I was going.
I must express my concern publicly about Donald Trump's handling of the COVID and still supporting these COVID shots. That's disturbing.
Yes. And no one can explain that. No one can explain. Well, why is he supporting that, you know, the jab? Why? Why?
But well, I can speculate, but that's all it would be.
Right.
As disruptive and you know, there'll be loss of life, loss of property for Donald Trump to be back in office. Ultimately, it's better for the country to have Donald Trump in there because he could turn this around.
Yes, he could.
Get our military back on a good footing in every which way. The F-35 was already a project that had been going for years by the time he came in office. But his advisors said, Mr. President Trump, we have a plane here that can't fly in a thunderstorm. We need planes to actually work. So they placed the first new order for F-15s in probably 20 years. Because I know F-15 engineers. You can't live in St. Louis and not know these people. And the F-15 with the latest upgrades that our Air Force was not ordering because they didn't want to show up the F-35. The F-15 with the latest upgrades, the performance difference between that and the F-35 are negligible. I use that as one example of Donald Trump doing the right thing for the right reasons. And how humiliating to have the most expensive jet fighter ever built by human beings, you can't fly it in a thunderstorm.
Yeah. I can't drive my vehicle in a rainstorm, you know. No, I'm kidding, but that's a big deal. That's a huge deal. You're right. So, yes, I'll just leave that alone for you. I mean, that's a huge deal.
All the pieces are in place for this to happen. If the powers that be did not want disruption and chaos and death and destruction, Donald Trump wouldn't be going back in office. But that's what they want.
Right.
And that's what they're going to get is these red cities, these blue cities will burn to the ground. That's what's going to happen. And that's the goal. We've been hearing about civil war now continuously for more than a year. Well, if you want to get a civil war going, especially with the Alexander George Soros instigators, this is a great way to do it. Put President Trump back in the Oval Office.
Yeah, and I remember, and John, you and I spoke about this. I remember back in 2013 talking with a source inside DHS, and this source telling me right to my face, look, at that time, Obama and his compadres, comrades, they were pushing for a civil war in this country. A little bit differently in different set of circumstances than today, but that's what they wanted. So now, I can see where this could actually happen with that. And by the way, Arizona audit update, there's only 7 pallets left to count. And I think that this will begin, as you described, the catastrophic fall of the deep state, but it's also going to spark the internal conflicts because, and the media will be behind a lot of the, I mean, can you imagine if the media came out and said, look, they proved the elections were fraudulent and they proved that President Trump won. We have to stick together as a country. They're not going to do that. They're the fifth column that's going to take us into a civil war. So, man, yeah. Mm.
Absolutely. Well, once again, our audience here, Doug, is getting a heads up to get ready and get ready now. I went to my first gun auction over the weekend. It was a fun event, a social event, an education for me. And the money being spent on 100-year-old European bolt-action rifles with strange calibers was phenomenal, to say the least. And the more desirable modern firearms with normal calibers were bringing astronomical prices compared to what they would have been 16 months ago. People are scared, and there's pressure on these firearm sales from both collectors and from people who just want something to defend their family's life with. But it was an education. I'll probably go to some more because it was kind of fun.
Did you buy anything?
I did. I bought 2 items.
Okay. I don't mean to be personal. I was just curious. Okay. All right. Well, that's good.
And again, it's, and I got market value, no bargain. I paid market value for the items I bought, and I was satisfied with that.
That's good.
But, we don't know how, the timing always comes up, and the people who want to know the timing the most are the ones who are the least prepared, Doug.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because that's always been, I found that. When's this going to happen? Can you give me a date? That's, there's the element of fear there with that really prompts that question, but it's fear because of lack of preparation, generally speaking. And I have to say you're exactly right on that. So, look, we don't know when any of this stuff is going to happen, date wise, but certainly a series of events could, you could watch for a series of events to take place, and you're seeing them now. So, 100% right, man. And by the way, folks, thelibertyman.com, do me a favor. Those people watching and listening to this, go to thelibertyman.com and bookmark the website. Listen to John, his program, Monday through Friday. I guarantee you are going to be more informed because of it. It's thelibertyman.com, and I don't get paid to say this. But, we only have so many hours in a day, and we have to select what we listen to. I listen to a handful of programs, John Moore, of course, being one of them, thelibertyman.com, and there it is right there on your screen, and you can dig down into the archives. There's some really amazing archived programs as well, so there it is. And also scroll down there when you're on there. Make sure you take advantage of the news as well as his products that are for sale. And some people were asking about Sam Andrews' legal defense fund address. It's also on thelibertyman.com. If you scroll down a little bit, you'll see it right there. So, and I appreciate all the work you put into it, especially the compilation of videos from doctors and such. I think it's really, folks, it'll be time well spent. Thelibertyman.com. John, I didn't mean to take away from your time, but
Oh, that's okay, Doug. It's life-saving information at my website. Literally, life-saving information.
And life-improving life products. I struggled to say that properly, but, again, scroll down and, check everything out. So, okay, John, look, we've got about, about 14 minutes, 13 minutes left of the program. So where do you want to go that we haven't gone yet?
Well, my mantra has been for decades preparedness, and we always have new listeners, Doug, and it doesn't hurt to repeat ourselves to make an impression on people's brains. The first most important thing people can do is spiritual preparedness. We know from the survivors of the World War II concentration camps and POW camps that the men and women who had a strong spiritual foundation going into those camps had a much higher likelihood of surviving those camps. So whatever that is for you, just make it part of your daily life to work on your spiritual preparedness. After that comes skills. And if you've got six people or 600, you're going to have lots of skills. That's a given. The two skills you'll need the most and have the least of will be the following two skills: first aid CPR skills and ham radio skills. Those are not, especially ham radio, not that common in our society. And they're very much needed. My friend Tom Berryhill, we talk about ham radio and emergency communications every Friday. We've helped quite a few men and women move forward to get their ham radio skills. There's a bonus we have a 700% increase in homeschooling. It's a great thing for homeschoolers to get their children involved with. 8-year-old boys and girls routinely get their ham radio license. And, Doug, most child play involves children pretending to do what adults do. In this case, children are actually doing what adults do with ham radio. So the children, the moms and dads, the grandparents can all enjoy the same hobby and participate in the same manner.
You can purchase a ham radio and listen, just merely listen. You don't have to be licensed for that. But do you recommend getting a license and getting trained in how to use it for?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Right. It's not, even though they're simpler than they were in years past, There is some complexity involved. They're not as easy and simple as a cell phone, for example. So, yes, there is knowledge you need to in order to communicate effectively, and a person needs that knowledge in order to communicate effectively with ham radio equipment. So, yes, I do advocate people study for their ham license. You no longer need to know Morse code. That's history. That's all gone. Don't worry about it. It's not part of the program anymore. Is to need to know Morse code to get your ham radio license, which was a roadblock for many people for decades. But that's all finished. So yes.
Okay.
You need a team. Now, I'm going to mention a number 168. You probably don't know offhand what that number represents, do you, Doug?
168, that's the systolic part of my blood pressure. No, I don't know.
That's how many hours in a week. At your safe haven, there has to be an adult, a responsible adult, awake 168 hours a week. So you think mom and dad and one or two kids are going to man that post 168 hours a week to keep track of what's going on? It's not going to happen, not very long anyway, because people will get sleep deprived. You need at least a dozen adults to spread out that overnight watch so that people can still have a life. And that's very important. It's not optional. Sleep deprivation is a marvelous thing, and your mind starts playing games with you. It hurts your health and so forth. But I tell that to people all the time. They've got a safe haven, they think, and they think that them and their wife and maybe a couple of adult children are going to hold off the world. Well, that 168 is staring you in the face real quick, Doug. And
that's right.
So your team should be a dozen trustworthy adults to make sure that overnight shift is carried on all night, every night, without hurting people. And if you've got at least 12 people, you can do that without hurting anybody, Doug.
And you know, this becomes even more important with what we both talked about. And that's a possibility, probability, and even perhaps likelihood of a civil conflict here in the United States, based on a number of factors, including but not limited to the reinstatement, perhaps, of President Trump based on the fraud. So the reason I brought that up, went back around to that, is because I think if there was ever any time in history where neighbors, I'm talking about neighbors in suburbia, will be at each other's throat, it's going to be this time.
That mild-mannered mom, soccer mom, who's 5'2" and weighs 100 pounds, will become a tiger if her children are hungry. And she will do whatever it takes to get food for her children.
That's right.
And that's my reality. And that's just simple, the way people are. A father, the same way. A father's wife and children are hungry, he will do whatever it takes to get food for his family. And if your food, well, he might just use deadly force to steal your food.
That's right.
That's an unfortunate reality, but that's my reality. People are not going to starve to death without a fight. That simply isn't going to happen, Doug.
So it's almost like a Mad Max scenario. Look, I certainly hope and pray that does not happen. Because I often talk about things, I'm going to just hit you with this. Again, last night, I referred to the conversation we had. You know, my question was, why hasn't anybody put down, for example, the Portland or Seattle rioters, the people who are burning buildings down and breaking things and punching people and hurting people? You know, in my view, John, and this is my view. Now, I'm not advocating this. I'm asking the question. Why haven't we seen a group of guys go out there and take care of business, take the trash out, you know? Why hasn't that happened?
The places, Portland and places that were picked, not randomly, but picked for very special reasons to conduct their illegal activity. the majority of the population is, you know, not like my neighbors out where I live. They are very passive people. They tend to not be armed. They tend to avoid any kind of confrontation. I know that I can answer specifically, but they did these protests and destruction in places where they typically didn't have small business owners, that they were large corporations who aren't going to put their own people at risk to defend property. They obviously didn't hire private security, which they could have and did not. So, point being, where these protests happened in Seattle and in Portland and other places, they were picked. These locations were picked to be successful, knowing that like in my hometown, St. Louis, the St. Louis City prosecutor doesn't prosecute the people arrested for damaging property. They simply let them go. And the same thing happened in other jurisdictions as well. So that's your answer is they had local officials who were complicit. They picked geographical areas that didn't have mom-and-pop stores where you would have uncles and brothers and so forth coming to defend family property. These were large businesses that had a corporate board of directors that wasn't going to take that kind of action. So I believe that's the answer, Doug.
Okay. Yeah, and that's a fair answer. You know, it's because, yeah, if it happened in your community or even my community, I can tell you, I know of some guys that would take care of business that would not allow that to happen. Now, to a lesser extent, we had some violence here in my town, some buildings downtown, the windows were broken and such, okay? Nothing big, nothing major, but it was a statement. But I think in a sustained type of assault against property and people, I think that it would be a whole different ball game where I live, as well as where you live. So, you know, I think you're right about this.
Well, we don't have to guess. We had Antifa show up in Eminence, Missouri, a small town. Sheriff's department, maybe a dozen men and women at the most. Sheriff had intelligence report that they were on the way. He activated the local militia. He had 300 armed men and women waiting for Antifa when they showed up. They didn't even get off the bus, Doug. They didn't even get off the bus. The same thing happened in several other nearby communities. The sheriff knows who the militia is. The militia is all able-bodied men and women between 18 and 60 years old. And he simply made some phone calls. Those people made phone calls. People got on the radios. And they took action to defend their communities against Antifa. So we don't need to guess what would happen. We know because we have experience with that. I don't know if they really thought Antifa thought they would do anything or if these were just scouting expeditions, but they found out really quick what happens in the heartland when you show up to cause problems in these small communities. The small communities will come together to defend their community, and that's exactly what happened.
That's right.
What should happen. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? Again, not that I wish for a civil war. I don't wish that because our lifestyles as we know them will be gone instantly. Boy, I mean, it would be just a bad time. However, I'm not averse to getting rid of a communist element that's really entrenched in our society. And again, I'm not advocating any of this. I'm just saying, you know, it would not break my heart to get rid of some of the communist elements here in our society. That's all I'm saying. I would rather they boarded a plane and lived in China or wherever they want to go, but not here. Don't bring that crap here.
Well, I agree, absolutely. And they're insidious. My friend Jeff Nyquist, his dream career was to be a professional school teacher. He found out in California that unless he became a Marxist and went along with all the Marxist theology, that he would not be allowed to be a professional school teacher. And it broke his heart to have to leave his chosen profession. But he segued from that into becoming an expert in international communist conspiracy. And as I've said frequently, he should have a workstation in the West Wing of the White House when President Trump was there, advising the president on the international comms conspiracy. And that's folks, what we're facing.
That's right. And folks, he's a regular guest on the John Moore, on the Liberty Men, John Moore, with John Moore, what, every Thursday, I believe, right? Or
Wednesday, every Wednesday, the third hour. Yes, sir.
I keep, you know, I every time I mention that, I always make the same mistake, and my apologies. But hey, John, we are at the end of the program. I got to tell you, it was a spirited discussion, and I want to thank you for your expertise and analysis in all of this current in the current events. We're at the end of the show, so God bless you, my friend, and I really appreciate again everything you said. And we have to prepare, brother. We really do.
We do
prepare others. Yeah,
we do. Absolutely. All Doug, right. Thank you, sir. Do this next week.
God bless you, my friend. All right. Folks, that was John Moore, thelibertyman.com, thelibertyman.com. Make sure you bookmark his website. Great, great, great guest. All right. Folks, tomorrow, Stan Dale, hour number two. What am I saying? My goodness. It's Monday, right? Folks, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being part of the program, telling others about it. May God bless each and every one of you. Have a great night.